I have been suggesting through the several weeks and months that you know what it is you believe, and wouldn't this now be a great time to know that you believe in a God who hears your prayers, a God who is with you through a disease, a pandemic, an illness, as this nation faces the coronavirus and its spread. We have an affirmation of our faith each time we gather together at Daleville Christian Church. This affirmation from Acts chapter 2, one of the speeches of the apostles. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He was put to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God's word for today is from the book of Revelation in the sixth chapter, just the seventh and eighth verses, where we read of disease and pandemic. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I'm going to include, as a part of the message today, the announcement I made in worship today. Today we need to begin with announcements because of the coronavirus now moving through the nation. A number of churches are closed and canceling, and I wanted us to hang on for this Sunday, since we have no coronavirus cases in this or surrounding counties as of this morning. Also, we qualify as a below limitation numbers for crowds, as any number of businesses are doing. A number of institutions are not closed or in recess until tomorrow, Monday, March 16th. Our office will be closed as soon as there's a case in the county. That is the intention of our administrative assistant, although I gave her the opportunity to close today. And both of us are available by phone or email. I am available by text also. We can also be reached through the Facebook messaging, and I think we can announce that we will consider resuming worship on the 29th of March. However, those plans can change and would change with local spread of the coronavirus. My wife made her own decision about attendance today, deciding not to attend, and I respect that. She has no symptoms, nor has she been exposed, but all of us have to find a balance between personal risk and public responsibility. Social distancing is a public responsibility as a means to slow or stop the spread of the virus. I was actually glad she chose to stay home because I want to honor both her decision and mine to hold worship. It's actually difficult to hold to both personal safety in our minds when our risks are so low right now and public safety held also in our minds because the coronavirus is so rapidly spread, since no one has immunity and there is no vaccine against it. Although as an historian, I have stressed that our church and community have experienced deadly diseases before, what makes our 21st century experience different is that we know what the coronavirus is and we know where it is, county by county. We also know we can't prevent the coronavirus or cure it. All we can do is attempt to contain the spread of the coronavirus. And so after worship today, Daleville Christian Church will fully participate in attempting to contain the spread of the virus and practice social distancing. We took a few different measures for worship today, for communion and offering. And I just remind you, since none of us has ever done any of this before, it's impossible to make a mistake. So With that, we prepare to praise our Lord, who is worthy of praise and is with us in this pandemic. The Lord remains our hope. Today is your pastor's coronavirus sermon. May as well preach on it while we can still meet together, and this being the last Sunday till the end of March. And maybe it's appropriate to preach on this topic since it's St. Patrick's Day Sunday. St. Patrick, who's been credited with driving snakes out of Ireland, except that St. Patrick didn't drive out the snakes, unless it's a symbolic story for driving out evil or driving out paganism. St. Patrick, who brought Christianity to Ireland. And I emphasize it was not Roman Catholic Christianity that St. Patrick preached, because St. Patrick preached before there was a Roman Catholic Church. But I'm beginning to wander again. Back to the coronavirus sermon. The Bible uses two words, pestilence and plague. Pestilence is mentioned 56 times. Plague is mentioned 74 times. Pestilence and plague, and they are two different words in Hebrew. Those two words appear to talk about severe epidemic diseases, that are deadly. The Bible does not use and cannot use more scientifically correct words like epidemic or pandemic. We can guess cholera, we can guess typhoid fever, we can guess typhus, dysentery, even bubonic plague. They could not use the word infection or communicable in the Bible, and even if they could, they would not know how an illness travels or incubates. But a disease, any disease or virus, any infection running rampant through a population, the Bible knows all about that. Any disease or virus, any infection running rampant through a population, the Bible knows all about that. So take heart. But I'm not here to guarantee that you won't get the coronavirus like some preachers have already done. I am today not sponsored by a product that claims it will protect you from the coronavirus, and that separates me from at least two other preachers I've read on this topic. If you read all the references in the Bible on plague and pestilence, you will discover that often God uses those plagues and or pestilences to afflict people. But also notice that when God did use either plague or pestilence, they were aimed at a specific group of people. Therefore, today it is clear that God is not punishing China with the coronavirus, and it's clear that God is not protecting America from the coronavirus. And that separates me from two other preachers whose claims I have read online. And remember, these preachers either have their own television program or more access to the airwaves than I do, so you'll probably hear more from them than you're going to hear from me. Now, if you feel like you want to test your standing with the Lord God, you might try staying home for the next month, have no visitors, take in no mail or newspapers or any delivered item. And if you still get the coronavirus, God just might be trying to get your attention. Plagues and pestilence. Are they different? Does it matter? Some Bible scholars think so, but that doesn't concern us today. If you have a medical interest, the following known diseases were known to affect the ancient world: cholera, typhoid, typhus, dysentery, smallpox, bubonic plague. We have today either a plague or a pestilence in our country, the coronavirus. But your preacher is an historian. This is not the first pestilence or plague to come to America. Just 100 years ago, the 1918 flu epidemic swept the country and the world. And I spoke with someone this week who had not known about the 1918 flu epidemic that swept this nation and the world. 100 years ago is not that long ago. It was just before my parents were born, because I'm the youngest of the youngest. My grandparents all lived through the 1918 worldwide flu pandemic. We believe 675,000 Americans died from the flu pandemic of 1918. And at that time, America only had one-third the population we have today. We believe 20 to 50 million people died worldwide from the 1918 flu pandemic. I don't know if I need to read those numbers again. They're kind of mind-numbing. I tried to find any sermons. I tried to find any sermons from American preachers of that time period during the flu pandemic. But World War I was still going on. Most of the 1918 sermons are about the war, not the plague. The 1918 pandemic is sometimes referred to as the Spanish flu. Ever wondered why? Well, Spain wasn't in World War I. All the nations who were fighting World War I didn't want the press to report the flu. Thought it would be bad for morale. So people only knew about the flu in the country of Spain. So the news on the flu always was coming out of Spain. So it was called the Spanish flu. One report I heard is that the Spanish flu started in Kansas, America. So the 1918 flu pandemic was real bad. And I have here a copy of our Indiana State Board of Health report for just 1 month of November 1920. The flu pandemic was over by then. The Indiana State Board of Health for November 1920 lists deaths from 7 infectious diseases, including pneumonia, influenza, typhoid fever, scarlet fever, diphtheria, measles. 491 deaths statewide in 1 month in 1920. This church was still standing then. Flu deaths in our state in November 2019. 14. Flu deaths in all of 2018-19 flu season. 8 in our state. 2 years ago in our state, flu deaths, 79. In just November 1920, here in our state, 491 deaths from infectious diseases. 160 years ago, Daleville Christian Church shut down church and Sunday school because of diphtheria outbreak, which was also at the time deadly. And since Daleville Christian Church will cancel worship due to the coronavirus, did I mention you can make your contributions to the church online? Either at the church's website or the Facebook page. I knew you'd want to know that. Plague and pestilence. The coronavirus was not the first pandemic, and the coronavirus won't be the last pandemic. The plagues mentioned in the book of Revelation, those will be the last plagues anyone will have to be concerned about, and there won't be anything anyone can do about those plagues. However, having reviewed the historical record, to get some perspective on our present situation, we want to remember and repeat to ourselves Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You should say it with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Many of us here in the Midwest have a lot of experience with tornadoes. I see the coronavirus as one large, slow tornado. We know it's coming. We can see it in the distance. We know where it is. But we don't know what path it will take. Maybe it will lift here, set down somewhere else. Maybe it will do a lot of damage and destruction. And maybe it won't do a lot of damage and destruction. When the coronavirus comes here, and it's when, not if, we will do what we always do for a tornado. If the tornado's coming here, we take precautions. We seek shelter. We don't go outside, take a picture of it. We don't attempt to go about our normal routine unless our normal routine usually takes us into the closet, the crawl space, or the basement. We are in God's hands in a tornado, and we are in God's hands in a plague. That's one of the messages of the Bible with regard to pestilence and plague. God is in charge. That doesn't mean that everyone is safe. It doesn't mean that everyone will survive. Read the book of Job. Job did survive, but his family did not. And Job states, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It's a very spiritually mature response in the face of disaster or plague. And that's one reason the book of Job is in the Bible. Whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, there are only a few basic responses to the coronavirus. You can try to run away, except the coronavirus is now worldwide. So where are you going to go and how are you going to get there? You could hide. We're working to see if that can work. You can buy some snake oil and try to use it, see if that works. But I read the Food and Drug Administration took that product off of Jim Baker's website where it was being sold. And you remember the preacher, Jim Baker, and his PTL club. He was convicted of fraud, did some time in prison. Not sure if he learned anything while he was in prison. And as a preacher, I'm beginning to lose my self-respect as I preach the sermon. Preacher's not looking too good through these situations. It's hard on me. So you can find that snake oil on the black market. Give it a try. Or you can take precautions. Be careful. Be wary. Wash your hands. Frequently use hand sanitizer. Avoid large crowds. And pray. Pray about any anxiety you might have. Me, I'm following the last course of action. I plan to be cautious, wary, and wash, and pray. Now notice that all of these possible responses are available to all people. I believe that only Jesus' followers will get the most benefit from number four, to include prayer. So looking on the outside of those responses, you just can't tell the difference. The difference will be inside. The difference will be in one's spirit. There can be a peace that is beyond our understanding. Difficult to explain that verse if when the apostle states that it's beyond our understanding, it really is beyond our understanding. I am not able to explain it. But do rest assured that the same peace that is beyond understanding is available to all believers, not just a select few. Should I give an example from a church on what not to do during a pandemic? This was during the 1918 flu pandemic. In the deeply pious Spanish city of Zamora, Spain, the local bishop defied the state health authorities by ordering an evening prayer service, and the bishop ordered the evening prayer service for 9 consecutive nights. So that's 9 consecutive evening services plus worship on Sunday in those 9 days. Now, these were pious Roman Catholic people, and their bishop, not just the local priest, had arranged for these services. Mind you, it wouldn't matter if you were Roman Catholic and went every night to the services. But that same town went on to record the highest flu-related death rate of any city in Spain and one of the highest in all of Europe. Again, the clergy come out looking pretty stupid. And I'm sorry. And again, I remind you, you wouldn't have had to have been Roman Catholic. Any Protestant clergy could have done the same thing with the very same results. And just read on Facebook yesterday of a pastor who invited the sick to his worship service. I'm dubbing that pastor as captain of the Titanic. I am not arranging more evenings for prayer. Our prayer services aren't social time anyway. We come in, take a seat, start praying. When we're done, we leave. Now, I plan to be cautious, wary, wash, and pray. May you and I continue to have this spring a coronavirus-free season. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.